Here's a question to ponder. Most people today live paycheck to paycheck, day to day, and they're not prepared for the many storms that may come their way. Many watchmen on the wall are crying out a warning, but how many people are paying attention?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome to our Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. So glad that so many of you are listening today. In thinking about today's program, a number of thoughts have been crossing my mind. As I said, as we started the program today, a lot of folk, they live paycheck to paycheck, day to day, and they have this false hope that everything is just going to work out all right. Don't worry about what's happening in the Middle East. Don't worry what's happening in Eastern Europe. Don't worry about inflation eating your paycheck and your retirement incomes alive. Don't fret over the fact that groceries keep rising and jobs may become a little harder to find as time goes by. Oh, and don't worry about the increased cost of energy and heating and what have you. Somehow it'll all just work out. And a lot of people live in that false hope that somehow it'll just all come together. And I remember Alfred E. Newman. If anybody ever remembered Mad Magazine from way back in the day. And that line that he had, "What? Me worry?" And I really believe a lot of folk live their life today in this, "I'm not going to worry about it. It'll all pan out. They'll fix it somehow at the last minute." Now, in the Bible, and by the way, you have to remember, they don't even understand that we're being led in a very unstable world by some very unstable people. People that are delusional. People that have agendas. People that really don't have your best interest at heart. And people, in many cases, whose heart is purely evil to the max. In Bible times, and it's true today too, cities were built in such a way to have protection. They had walls. This way, invaders would be hard to get in. And there were watchmen that were on the wall to keep an eye out for danger. If some opposing force was on its way, you warn the people, you sound the trumpet. If you saw bad weather coming across the landscape, you warn the people of what you're seeing. This was a God-ordained job, to be the watchman on the wall to protect the people. And a watchman, you weren't allowed to just fall asleep. You know, it's like, yeah, everything's cool. I'm just going to go up on the wall. You didn't want to be caught sleeping on the job. It could have a very high price. Those that were appointed and rose to that position were among some of the most trustworthy people of the day. This wasn't some low-paying job. This was a job that meant life and death. And so today, I want to discuss this idea of a watchman on the wall and also the things we need to do to be prepared and the things we need to do to begin separating ourselves from the things of this world. I've been coming increasingly, I'm going to use the word burdened, for lack of a better term. I've been coming increasingly burdened about separating myself from all the old terminology that I used and heard years ago, the pomp and circumstance of this world, the vanity, the vainness. Sometimes a lot of folk they don't want to talk about that. In my opinion, there are way too many radio programs out there worrying more about politics than they are about people. They've lost sight of the dangers. They're not being a true watchman on the wall. If anything, they're cashing in. And I say that sincerely. There are a lot of news sites out there, And I know when I started this radio program a little over 3 years ago, in order to stay ahead of the news curve, I had to subscribe to a number of news sources. I mean, it's not easy getting information today. In a world where the government is using private business to censor and control anything you can see or think or say, the power of social media to control a narrative deceptively and lie and having people believe the lie is incredible. This is an age of advertising, the likes we have never seen before in our nation's history. And it's all because of technology and lots of experience in controlling the narrative. And a lot of people miss sight of that. And a lot of people don't want to know about the bad news. They're just too busy living day to day. They do their job. They come home. They watch entertainment television. They don't even really get into the news anymore. You can see that just in the sheer numbers, in the ratings. When you have a nation of 330 million people and only a few million people are actually paying attention to the news, that ought to tell you that we have a lot of people that don't really know what's going on. And they're easily led astray by clever advertising and clever slogans and what I call the herd mentality. You don't want to be thought of being a weirdo, so you just kind of go along to get along. You don't really know what you're voting for sometimes. Well, yeah, that guy's a Democrat, and he just believes in equal this and equal that. And yeah, it all sounds good to me. Yeah, he's got my vote. People don't even know what they're voting for half the time anymore. They're voting for slogans. I'm looking at a story that came out just to give you a real quick idea. This doesn't take a whole lot. I'm looking at a story, and this one comes out of a town called Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. It is a suburb to the west of Milwaukee. And the deputy city administrator by the name of Melissa Contrero Weiss, she sent an email to all the city workers instructing them not to use any red and green and religious Christmas decorations because it's not inclusive or equitable. They're going to use this being inclusive and equitable and diverse. They're going to beat you over the head with this. Don't even want to use the term snowman because it's not gender inclusive. It's got to be snow people. This is what they spend their time worrying about. Stripping tradition, holiday, reforming it into something that it isn't. And if it has any kind of a Christian overtone, you got to get rid of it because it's just not, we don't want that. And so you wonder, how does this stuff happen? Then you look at the voting. And even considering cheating is probably part of it too, as insurance. When you got 70% of the people voting for these Democrats in charge, what do you expect? States like Wisconsin and Minnesota that used to be, 50 years ago, had a lot of normal people that wouldn't even, if they were people 50 years ago, would look at this stuff today and think these people are nuts. But now it's been mainstreamed. In many places, even in some so-called conservative places, whether it be in Canada or the United States, these forces of darkness are worming their way in and pushing the things that you and I believe in out. We're not allowed to discuss what our viewpoints are in the marketplace of ideas. I was watching, last week. I didn't watch it live. I watched part of it later. The Republican presidential debate. Because I kind of figured that a number of them were going to be dropping out. They didn't have much to say to me at this point. I already know where they all stand. It's pretty obvious. Chris Christie is all about himself. Nikki Haley is all about let's get into some more wars. That's good for the economy. Tim Scott, who has dropped out of the race, nice guy, but not ready for prime time. Ron DeSantis, my disappointment in him is very simple. When he was asked the question back in 2022, running for a second term as the governor of Florida, are you running for president? He refused to answer. I voted for a four-year governor, not a two-year. Wait, if you want to be president, run in 2028, not 2024. Or at your age, you could do it in 2032. There's no immediate need for Ron DeSantis to run for president today. And I look at what is occurring and I see the media trying to prop up some of these rhinos and a DeSantis because they believe they can beat him with anybody. And honestly, I think the greatest threat that conservatives have is going to be a third-party candidate like a Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I'm surprised that the Biden administration is not giving him Secret Service protection. Remember, his father and his uncle were assassinated. One was president, one running for president. And there's been too many incidents where Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s private security have had to intervene that you don't hear much about. But I remind you of something that I've said a number of times before, and I've had a few people take issue, which is all right. Don't put your trust in princes or the sons of men to fix things. Your hope needs to be in something eternal, in God. I had somebody misunderstand what I said when I said that, you know, like, well, you're just not believing in voting. You're not going to. No, I didn't say that at all. Don't put words in my mouth. What I said to that guy in Northern Virginia who happens to manage a radio station, not a news talk station, but, you know, a music hit station. He is supporting a candidate, one that I would support, but he's looking at this candidate like it's going to be the savior of mankind. And he's not. No candidate ever has been. No candidate ever will be. I don't understand why this is so hard for people to understand. We are in this world according to the Bible, not of it. And too many conservatives are so much of the world and giving lip service to things of God and put God in a box and maybe visit God occasionally on a Sunday, might even say grace at Thanksgiving or around Eastertide or Christmas, you know, come out to the candlelight service. This is not their hope. This is not what drives them. And the watchman on the wall has been crying out for a long time saying, there is danger over the horizon. We can see the storm clouds coming. And nobody pays attention. Jesus said it'd be like the days of Noah. You know, just everything goes on like it was, giving in marriage, eating, drinking, being merry, mocking God, not giving him due reverence. And Noah kept building the ark and kept putting out the warning. Repent, for God's judgment is at hand. And they laughed and cursed him to the day it began to rain. And as the ark lifted and disappeared, they all died. They didn't heed the warning. I'm looking at a couple of quick stories here also. Give you an idea. There's a teacher, her name is Hannah Hoxie. And she is in Des Moines, a Des Moines public school teacher, and she posted a picture of herself online with a caption. Now, this is a real teacher, okay? A real teacher. She claims she uses the school as a means to encourage, even force children into becoming gay. And she's proud of it. Every day is what she says is another opportunity to force kids in public schools to become gay. Now, after the story kind of got out there away from her little circle of friends, she locked her Instagram and and the Des Moines Public School restricted their X replies after receiving public pressure because the Des Moines Public School, if you live there, let them know, they're cowards. They're nothing but stinking cowards. They're going to capitulate to this group, protect her, I'm sure, as best they can. But this is what is in our schools. This is what's in our governments. When I mentioned before, this Melissa Cantarero Weiss, the deputy city administrator in Wisconsin, hating Christians and Christmas. And then I'm looking at another story. Dozens of schools were closed recently as teachers attended the New Jersey Education Association convention. And what did they do at that convention while thousands of kids had to stay home from school? These teachers were treated to drag shows, drag queen story time, banned book discussions featuring pornographic books like Gender Queen. This is where your public teachers are going. This is what the the New Jersey Education Association stands for. And so once again, I'm going to stand here like a watchman on the wall, blowing the trumpet to parents and grandparents and even great-grandparents. Get your kids out of these satanic institutions of destruction. These are institutions that are pushing perversion. And don't tell me it's not happening in my school. What do you know? Do you go to the school board meetings? Have you been to the libraries? Do you know what your kids are doing when they're on TikTok or Facebook or any other social media? Do you know what tunes they listen to? If they're on Spotify, if they're on YouTube, what are they putting into their minds that you don't know about? You bought them the phone, are you really paying attention? Most parents, sadly, they do not. They're too busy. They're too busy paying the mortgage, paying the higher grocery prices, and not connecting the dots. A question was asked. Instead of asking why children shouldn't see drag queens, you need to ask the question why drag queens crave an audience of little children. That shows the sickness and the demonic presence. I'm telling you, the courts are failing you in terms of your free speech. They are allowing it to be eroded. I don't care what nation you live in. I'm seeing it in Germany. I'm seeing it in the United Kingdom. You can't even say in your own personal space on Facebook in the United Kingdom that transgender women are still men. You'll have the police on your doorstep. If you silently pray near an abortion clinic to end the infanticide, you're a threat, and you'll be taken to a police station. You might spend a night or two in jail. And you think you can fix this world? You think you can just vote in the right people? You think that the ballot box is your solution? It is not. It never has been. It never will be. I have been voting, as I told this one guy, over 50 years. And the guy you're claiming to be your savior in 2024 was voted in 2016, along with a so-called conservative House of Representatives and United States Senate. How long did that last? Before the rhino stabbed him in the back, undid anything good, and look at us today. Sure, you can get your human savior back. Very possibly in 2024, it could happen. And you might even get a temporary, House and Senate, because with Manchin dropping out of the race, might get the Senate back too. And if you think for one moment it's going to make everything perfect again, inflation stop, gas prices cheap, food cheap, all of that, you're an idiot. I'm sorry, you're crazy. You're insane. I'm telling you, the day is approaching of Jesus' second coming. You might get little reprieves, but you're never going to change it. If you really believe you're going to change it at the ballot box, good, go try it. 52 years of voting tells me not. Been here before. I've seen the days of Ronald Reagan, followed by a rhino, followed by Bill Clinton, followed by another rhino, followed by a globalist. Then Trump tried to do something to undo it, and they've been coming after him. They want to put him in prison or kill him. Take your choice. The powers that be that pull the levers are never going to let go of that power. And they run the institutions. You can vote for whoever you want, and you'll get a temporary reprieve until the deep state figures out how to undo them and knock them out. They don't care how many people die in a hospital unnecessarily to get their way. I believe that the so-called 800,000 or whatever that died in the United States of COVID were political deaths, most of them. They knew how to stop it, but they didn't. And they bought in the phony vaccine to add to it. Doesn't work. They gave us the lie that it'll stop you from getting and spreading COVID. Never did, never has, and never will. It's a lie. The funniest thing, you need to get vaccinated so I don't get COVID. Why? If a vaccine works, why do I have to take your vaccine? Doesn't make any sense. But this is how mentally deranged these people are and how mentally weak too many Americans are. I the other night, I think it was Saturday night into Sunday, maybe Sunday into yesterday, I can't remember which, this thought occurred to me. As when you go back to those born 100 years ago in the 1920s, like my father and like many others, they were children who, as they started growing up, were hit by the Great Depression and then a world war. And they were conditioned to work hard and to be independently minded. Most of them, not all, but most. And at the end of that war, they moved to the suburbs. They had families. They worked hard to raise the standard of living, to give their children the things that they were deprived and denied. It's called the Greatest Generation. And most of those men and their wives, the women, shared the same values. But they spoiled their children, my generation, the baby boomers. And the baby boomers became the hippies, which are now the ones running the colleges and universities today. And their children that have been raised in a godless home and environment are the ones coming up the ranks. They're the ones, their kids, my kids and my grandkids in terms of age group, they're the ones that are becoming the teachers that want to make your kid gay and transgender and all that. They have now believed the lie because their parents, the Greatest Generation, had one failing. They never instilled all the values and held their children accountable over the years. And then the baby boomers did a miserable job of raising their children as a group. And now Gen X, even worse. And now the new generation, millennials, worse again. No, this can't be fixed at the ballot box. And I believe we are hitting the place like the airliners will tell you. There's a mark on a runway for an airliner as it goes down that runway. It's called the point of no return. You either pull the flaps and take off or you stop. If you go any farther, you're going to crash. You're going to run out of runway. The United States, I believe, if it has not crossed that point, it's right at it. The Bible says, get out from among them and do not touch the unclean thing. This weekend, I've got a young man that'll be visiting with me and my wife, spending several days with us here at our home in Virginia. He's a man that I had the privilege of ordaining into the ministry. And he's trying to find where God wants him to be. He's got a gift in terms of knowledge, understanding, and education. And it's a passion of mine, has been for 20 years. And I know a lot of people can't afford to put their kids in private school. I understand that. It can be expensive. Even many Christian schools are cost prohibitive. We have the resources of online. And even in today's technology, there are ways that you can do this without the internet. Inexpensively. And put together a curriculum where a parent doesn't have to understand all of this. The material is there at a self-paced system. And if it's the last project I ever do in my lifetime, the last big thing I ever do, besides this radio program, starting a church, it's going to be, well, got an announcement that I'll be making maybe before the end of the week or the first of next. A really positive one, too. Not bad news. It's good news. Other ways to access this program. But we're going to put together from the church where I'm senior pastor, our little tiny church. You know, a lot of little tiny churches are busy trying to figure out how they're going to keep the doors open and the power bill paid. Yeah, I face the same things. But I'm not losing sight of the greater vision. And I'm not going to compromise the vision that God has given. Well, we can't afford that now. I'm going to give my junk to Jesus and save all the good stuff for me. I've seen that in so many churches. It looks like they shop for everything at the local Salvation Army or the Goodwill's dump, you know, the trash bin. It's time to put our best that we can. Give our best to the effort. And so we're going to put together a program. I would love to see it ready by the next school year, where people who want to homeschool have the opportunity and the option of having a quality education, not some, you know, thrown together education that lacks history, mathematics, English, that's very strong in those topics, along with biblical understanding and a biblical worldview. It can be done. To learn things they don't even teach anymore in the public schools. To be separate from this world as the Bible demands. I don't understand why Christians don't understand this. We are in this world, but not of it. Stop being of this world. Why do you love this world so much? This world and its pomp and circumstance are already condemned by God. And I just don't get it. The watchman on the wall is blowing the trumpet. Our governments are corrupt. Our institutions are crumbling. Our schools have been demonically taken over. And you think it's just going to get better all by itself? There's an old hymn I remember growing up. Rise, my soul, to watch and pray. From your sleep awaken. Be not by the evil day unawares or taken. For the foe, well we know, is a harvest reaping while the Christians are sleeping. I'm telling you, too many Christians are asleep at the wheel. Their faith is in a box. It's not what drives them. It's not their most important thing. It's just off to the side when convenient. Oh, I'm too tired today. I'm not going to go to church. I don't need to be a part of it. You do. I'm getting tired of this. You do. But while watching, also pray. Pray to your Lord unceasing. This is what the hymn says in his final verse. God protects you day by day, strength and faith increasing, so that still mind and will shall unite to serve him and forever love him. Listen, we are in this world and not of it. So pray for this young man as he journeys this weekend here to Southwest Virginia. What else can I tell you? This is the work of this radio program. We have opportunity. We're working with WTWW. There's some technical things that I need to help get straightened out. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to do it. But it's an opportunity. We need your prayers and we need your support. I mentioned before, October was extremely difficult, and November is shaping up to be not a whole lot better. Do you believe in what we're trying to do here? Would you consider sending a gift of support to us? You can do it one of two ways. You can go to the website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com, or you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510 in Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code is 24319. That's 24319. I'll give that address again in a moment. But do you see what we're facing in this age? It's an evil time, and it's not getting better. You're not going to vote in a Messiah to fix it. Not going to happen. Sure, you vote. You vote for the person that most aligns to what you believe. But put your faith in God, not in man. There's so much work yet to be done. Work for the night is coming. Once again, you can use our website, truth2ponder.com. Look for the support tab or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. On the other side of the break, your friend and mine, Jim Calhoun, comes to the microphone.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Where he art coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is Jonathan Kahn, the nice Jewish boy. Your Jewish connection, bring you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. The Lord's Prayer begins with Our Father who art in heaven. Real important. It starts with Our Father who art. See, our prayers often start with our problems and our predicament, our situation, our wants, our needs. But here reveals something radically different. It's not supposed to be like that. Prayer starts out not where you art, but where he art. It starts out forgetting where you art and focusing on where he art. In other words, when you pray, focus on where he art, where God is. See, what are you dealing with? You know, what are you upset about? That's what you art. You know, that's where you art. That's not where God's art. You know, what are you worried about? That's where you art. What are you all bent out of shape about? That's where you art. It has a place, but it's not the most important place in prayer. Lay it down, put it aside. Lay down your art and focus on God and his art. Because when you focus on God and his art, your problems are not going to be such a problem. That's when you're going to start dwelling in his blessing. You're supposed to dwell in the heavenlies. And you can only do that when you start from where he art. For when your art is right, your heart will be right also. And what you dwell on, you're going to end up dwelling in. And where your treasure art, where your treasures are, there your heart will be too. The point is, our Father who art in heaven, forget where you art. Focus on where he art, and most of your problems will be solved right there. And you'll be dwelling in the heavenlies, but it all starts where he art. Want more? Ask for Avinu. On CD means our Father in Hebrew. Now, the free gift for you, from the sands of Judea to the wings of the cherubim to the writings of the rabbis that prove Jesus is Messiah, the awesome hidden mystery of the temple doors on CD. It's yours free and sapphires guaranteed to bless your socks off. How do you get these gifts free? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. To receive your free gifts, my friend, just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YES-HUA-1. I invite you to minister with me, together bringing salvation to God's ancient people, Israel. God promises, I will bless the one who blesses Israel. And to the unreached peoples of all nations on five continents, the most incredible way you can ever reach the world for salvation. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. It's right to the nice Jewish boy, Box 1111. That's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. The zip 07644. That's the nice Jewish boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, be where he art. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, Adon Hashamayim, the Lord of Heaven.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Welcome back to the second half of Truth to Ponder. This is Jim Calhoun sitting in for Bob Bierman on the second half. And I'm doing everything in my power to help Bob Bierman do everything I can. And I think keeping him in our prayers is very vital. So I appreciate all the prayers that are being said for Bob Bierman. And I had a nice talk with Bob Bierman on the phone. And he seems to have a good handle on what's going on and a very good understanding of everything he needs to do. So I think he's in good hands. Of course, being in the hands of God is the best you can possibly do. And I do believe Bob has a very good handle there as well. So, well, Bob wanted me to talk about some of the shortages that we're going to be seeing and some of the things we need to prep. And some of the ideas I'm going to give you are pretty standard. And some of them are going to be original ideas that might be a little bit, shall we say, off the wall. But I do think that we have to be creative thinkers. And so if you're going to start prepping anything, you have to turn your mind on. You have to be creative. You can't do what everyone else is doing for several reasons. Number one, if everyone is going out and let's say they're buying cans of beans, if everyone decides to do that, well, beans are going to be off the shelf and a lot of people aren't going to get any beans. And so you can't just prep like everyone else. You can't just imitate what everyone else is doing. So I think when it comes to acquiring food, you need to look at alternative types of food and varieties of food that are going to be more plentiful on the shelf. And I can't think of a more perfect example than with beans. Pinto beans and black beans and red beans, kidney beans, are all pretty popular. And as people buy the beans, whether they be in a can or dry beans, they're going to disappear. But not very many people really like lima beans. And so lima beans are going to be less expensive and more plentiful. And so if you have, let's say, beans on your list to buy beans, well, don't go out and buy beans you don't like. I'm not telling you to do that. But I'm telling you that if the shelf is empty on one variety of bean, just go to the next variety. And there are other types of beans, like tapari beans that are primarily grown in Arizona, that are very healthy for you. And so you can think outside the box. And of course, soybeans can be used in a lot of things, and they are used in a lot of things. I wouldn't use soybeans as a replacement for kidney beans, but soybeans can really be used to augment your diet. So there are things you can do. And here's an off-the-wall thought. Soybean harvests just got done through most of the United States. I think it's all the way done. Clear as far north as they grow soybeans, I think they're done. But if you live in an area that has a grain elevator, and many of you do that listen to Truth to Ponder, you can go to your nearest grain elevator, your nearest co-op, and you can buy several bushels of soybeans. And you can do that really easily. And what I've done in the past is that they have to take samples out of every truck. They vacuum up, oh, let's say a gallon of beans. They have to test the weight and the moisture and so forth. And then they end up throwing those samples away. You can go up to your local elevator, your local co-op, and ask them if they have any grain samples. And then ask if you can buy them or have them. And chances are they're going to give them to you for free. And you can end up getting 200 or 300 pounds of beans and wheat and oats and other things just for asking. And so that's something that you need to realize that is available to you. But getting back to thinking outside the box, a lot of people don't understand the power of tortillas. Now, people of Hispanic descent, they do understand. But you can use tortillas as wraps. You can use them as your plate. You can roll them before you cook them. Just roll them and cut them in strips. And you can make noodles out of tortillas. You can make tortilla soup. You can use them as a substitute for bread. You can use that as a substitute for biscuits. You can have them for breakfast. You can have them for lunch. You can have them for supper. They're extremely versatile. And if you're packing food to go, as far as if you have a trip or something, tortillas are real easy. You just fold them into what would look like a burrito, and you can have them filled with honey or peanut butter and jelly or cheese or fried eggs or meat or anything you want to do with the tortilla. And why I'm telling you about this is that you could buy the ingredients to make your own tortillas, because making your own tortillas is kind of fun, and the tortillas taste real well. And after you really get the hang of it, you're going to make some very good tortillas. And you won't have to really fight people for 50 pounds of flour. I would learn how to render lard. That's another way of thinking outside the box. And so if you have bacon, save the bacon grease. If you're cooking meat and it's a little bit greasy, save the grease. You just render your own lard and use that to cook with. And everybody's grandparents or great-grandparents did that. I can remember every kitchen that I ever went to as a child. Up by the sink was a quart-sized jar that was full of whatever they were cooking for the last several days. And when the food was being prepared and they needed to put some cooking oil in the pan, they just took a spoon and dipped into their lard jar. That's how they cooked. And as far as I know, nobody was killed by doing it that way. And just a side note, I do believe that lard is much more healthy for you than you've been told, because it's an animal fat, and our body is designed to deal with animal fat, and it's not designed to deal with the artificial oil that is what you would consider vegetable oil. And all vegetable oils are not created equally, so be real careful of the type you buy. And of course, olive oil is always good to have around. But getting back to the tortillas, very simple to make, very simple ingredients, very affordable ingredients. And if we're out of power and we're out of ways to cook, you can make tortillas real easy on a campfire stove. You can make pan-fried bread or use a Dutch oven. But if you're looking for a fluffy loaf of bread, well, you need an oven to do that. Whereas a tortilla is more friendly to any environment where you're going to cook. A tortilla is at home in any kitchen. And I've been talking about storing up proteins. And if you can raise chickens, if you have the ability, I would do so. And of course, beans are protein, and I mentioned the soybeans. Your foods that are meat, such as beef, lamb, pork, chicken, they are all protein, as well as the eggs. And so it'd be a good idea to can meat. And why I'm telling you to can the meat is that if we do have shortages, those shortages might be electricity as well. And we might have things in our freezer that are going to spoil. And so when it comes to meat products, I would either can them or dry them and turn them into jerky. That's personally what I would do. Now, if you have several freezers full of food and you have backup generators and you have the fuel to keep everything frozen, you don't have to rely on the grid. Well, that's a good plan. But having two or three freezers that are connected to these wires that are coming to your property from the road, not so much a good idea if we have the types of problems that both Bob and I do see happening. We see these problems coming. And so I would prep as if you are not going to have electricity. I would prep as if you are not going to have a way to cook your food with an electric stove, or with natural gas, or with propane. Now, on my show about a year and a half ago, I did a product review on what's called a cob cooker. And it was designed in South Africa, and it got its name the cob cooker because it primarily uses dry corn cobs as fuel. That's what you use as the heat source. Now, you can also use charcoal briquettes. That works well. And there's also a cooker out there. I can't remember the name of it. It's really an odd one, But what you do is you take newspaper and you just crumple it up into balls and you can cook with newspaper. And it's a cook stove that's specifically designed to cook with this newspaper. And I've seen demonstrations of it, and it does work. And of course, if all else fails, you can cook with candles. And if you don't have any candles, but you've happened to render some lard, well, guess what? You can make a candle, and you can cook with that lard that you saved. All you have to do is put a wick in it, make sure the wick is damp and has oil that is wicked up into the wick, and light it on fire. And as a precaution, because grease can catch on fire, have something there that will smother the fire easily. So let's say you have a nice little quart-sized jar of lard, and you light the wick and the top of the lard catches on fire. We'll just have a bucket to set over the top, and it will immediately put that fire out. So there are safe ways to deal with candles and cooking with lard as your candle. And another kind of off-the-wall kind of a thinking outside of the box type of a suggestion is, if you don't have any hobbies, come up with a new hobby and make sure that that hobby will benefit you if you have to go off-grid due to an EMP attack or electricity shortage or whatever's going to happen. And so you can learn how to render your own food or learn how to make your own jerky. You can learn to do all of these things and turn it into a hobby that even if you don't have to use it in a survival type of a situation, at least you're learning a new skill and you're having fun. And related to that would be learn how to make candles. And if you're a hunter or if you're really into protecting your household and your family with firearms, it would be a good idea for you to learn how to reload. One of the things that I stress on my program is self-sufficiency. If we're not self-sufficient, then we're very vulnerable to just all sorts of things that can happen. And in an emergency situation or a critical situation, the more things that you can retain control of, the better. And so if you've thought everything out and you have everything that you think you're going to need, of course you're not going to have everything. There's going to be things that you're going to just not realize you need until you find out you need it, you don't have it. And so we're going to have some things that are going to slip through the cracks, and it might be tough for you to acquire some of these things. So you're going to have as many things that are safe that you already have as possible to free up your time and energy for you to procure these other items that have slipped through the cracks. And so make sure that you don't run out of water. Make sure you don't run out of food. And one of the ways not to run out of food is to do what I have suggested many times, is go ahead and buy food by the bushel in local grain elevators. And if you don't have a local grain elevator, you can possibly find a grain elevator that'll ship to you. The shipping will be expensive, but it'll still be easier than going out and buying things one can at a time. And you can buy wheat, and you can buy rice, you can buy beans. There's lots of things you can buy. And also, I would buy in bulk. And if you have a way to store food, if you know how to can, and you have the room and the skill, well, you need to go to wholesale houses or any place you can and buy either a pallet full or a box off the pallet or whatever in any quantity that you think you're going to need, and preserve your own food and can it yourself. And there are ways to can meat with lard. And don't forget, salt traditionally has been used to keep food safe for years. And there's a way to put a layer of lard and then a layer of cooked meat, another layer of lard, another layer of cooked meat. You just do it in layers. And then the top inch or so is totally lard. Then you can go ahead and pour about a quarter of an inch of salt over the top of that and put a lid on it. The meat might eventually get a little bit salty, but the meat should stay good for a long time. But of course, you need to make sure that any preservation methods you use, you need to make sure that they are going to work. And don't just blindly trust everything that you hear from me or anyone else. You have to make sure that you have your stored food, you've stored yourself past the smell test and the sight test and the taste test. If anything looks bad, it probably is. If it smells bad, it probably is. And if it tastes bad, well, you know it's bad. So you have to really watch things. And I would rotate your supply as well. Anything that was canned or acquired, let's say 6 months ago, go ahead and use it now and just replace it. I think that is a really good plan, is to rotate your food like that. And so there are things that we can do to beat the shortages that may or may not happen. And some of the things I see that are going to have shortages on is, of course, toilet paper. Seems like people go nuts over that. And make sure you don't hoard, but make sure you have enough. And water, of course, I think is going to become very scarce as far as clean, pure water. And there are ways for you to distill your own water or add chemicals to your water that are going to make your water safe and make sure that you and your family are not going to get ill from the water. And don't forget your utility water, water to wash your clothes and flush your toilet, and things that don't necessarily have to be kept germ-free because you're going to use it in a utility type of a way. And so when you're talking about preparing with water, there's two different ways to go. And one thing I have to stress right here is that if we go into an emergency type of a situation, then what we have to do is manage our own self. We have to police our own selves. What we have to do is ration. I know people hate that word, but you're going to have to self-ration. And so if the electricity goes out and you have problems with certain types of issues as far as keeping your refrigerator going and so forth and so on, it's going to be really hard for you to replace anything that goes bad. And who knows how long things might be turned off if they get turned off? Or who knows how long the shelves might be empty if the shelves get empty? And so on day one, you're going to have to look at the situation as if it's going to last for a long time. And so if you're wasteful with water, from day one or from second one, the second things get ugly, you have to be a rationer. You have to already know how much water you're going to need. Now, I'm not saying to starve yourself or deny yourself water, but don't overeat, don't overdrink, don't overuse. If it takes exactly 3/4 of a gallon to flush your toilet, put exactly 3/4 of a gallon in the tank, not one drop more. That type of a thing. You have to have that kind of mental attitude. And going back to cooking with your lard, use a half a teaspoon or less in a pan instead of 2 or 3 teaspoons. Preserve everything you have. Everything needs to be treated as if it will be impossible to replace. That's not a very fun way to live, but you'll stay secure a lot longer. You'll have peace of mind a lot longer. You'll have food a lot longer. You'll have water a lot longer. And so it's really important for you to understand that if we're in a crisis situation, our mindset has to change. Our headspace has to be totally different. And if we don't get this new headspace, if we try to live our life as if everything is normal, and let's say we normally eat, let's say a half pound of hamburgers, you make hamburgers, you like a big thick half pounder. Well, it's time to have 16th pound hamburgers, or maybe even less. You might say, wow, I'll be hungry. Well, that's going to happen in crisis. So prepare to be hungry. And if you're one of those that needs to lose a few pounds, well, just go with the flow and roll with the punches and make it part of your diet. Use that rationing to help you lose a few pounds. You'll gain some health. You'll gain some energy. And so there's lots of things we can mentally do to prepare that's going to keep us on the right frame of mind and keep us on track. It might be a spouse or children in the house that might be a problem. They won't understand, well, Daddy, how come I can't have this extra piece of chicken? Well, it's because you have to save the chicken for the next day. And it's really hard to deny anyone any food. And I definitely would not deny children any food. Adults, I would, but not children. But if your children are overweight, maybe it would be good to slim them down a little bit as well. But out of all of the prepping that I want you to do, get your mind ready to go. Get your headspace right. Get right with God. Get your prayer life right. Be in God's will. And use your faith as a guiding stone. We have to use our faith and all of the knowledge that God has freely given us. And a lot of things that have been told to you your entire life, you need to understand. You need to recall some of these things, because I do believe God has been preparing us for a long time for a moment like this. And so do what you can to think back to maybe some advice from your grandparents, or maybe some of their friends, or maybe even some of the older people, people older than your grandparents. The generations that have recently passed in their prime faced exactly what I'm talking about. And they came through it with flying colors. They raised families. They persevered. And after they got through the hard times, they gave us the best economy in the history of our country. They gave us the best standard of living in the history of our country. And so it is possible to get through these hard times. But the difference between then and now is just the attitude of the public. Used to be people pulled for each other and helped each other and were neighbors, and now everyone competes with each other. And instead of do unto others how you want to be done to you, it's do unto others and then split. There's way too many people that want to do unto others and do unto others again and again and again. And if you're that kind of a person, you need to cut it out. It's time for a live and let live type of an attitude. It's time for a very healthy attitude to where we help each other. We have to stand the gap for each other. We have to help our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I hope that my advice has been helpful today. I wish Bob Bierman Godspeed in his health. Thank you very much for praying for Bob. And also, I want to mention here that it's vital that you support this ministry to keep it on the air. And you can do so by going to the website, which is truth2ponder.com. Click on the support tab, and then you can follow instructions on how to donate. Or you can send in a check or money order. You would write the check out to Ancient Word Radio. You would mail to Truth to Ponder, P.O. Box 510, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code is 24319. Again, thanks for listening. I'm very grateful for Bob for trusting me to come to you on the second half of this program. I wish everyone all the best. I wish Bob Bierman the best. And so until next time, everyone be strong. Stay brave. Prepare. And never ever forget. Replace fear with faith.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth. Truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder. Shining the light of truth in a darkening world.